So welcome to a village board, special village board meeting here at 6 o'clock, or a little after 6 o'clock, at Village Hall. I'd like to ask the clerk to please take the roll call.
Trustee Corsini.
Here.
Trustee Cargi.
Here.
Trustee Vasquez.
Here.
Trustee Conti.
Here.
Trustee Hennig.
Here.
Trustee Gibbs.
Here.
President Odusi.
Here. And if I can, are we going to do the pledge of allegiance? It's not on our.
No, because it's a special meeting.
Because it's a special meeting.
I will say it's a.
Okay.
Is this for America and special meetings?
No, I just.
Wow.
7 o'clock's our official meeting. This is more.
We are on the record, please.
A business meeting, I will add it to the next one.
We're getting, this is pretty interesting at 6 o'clock. Okay, so very good. Any citizens comment? Mike, do you, kind of losing our, what's that?
The handle to my chair.
A little bit, what can I tell you?
All right. All righty. Concordia Verizon, youth intervention, youth intervention. All right. Okay, we've got a few Concordia, a few youth intervention, and then two Verizon. Is that the Verizon for the small cell, or is that the Verizon for Concordia?
For Concordia.
Oh, Concordia, okay. So, let's see, Concordia is later on in the, it will only be, do you mind if we, for those that are for Concordia, do you mind if we have your comments when we get to Concordia? It should be no longer than 10 minutes to get there. And if you want to have a comment on Concordia, yes?
These folks are the designers and other folks.
Oh, I see.
Tied to our projects.
Okay, so there's no other between David, Joel, Claire, and Jim? You guys are all?
Brought together.
Brought together. Very good. Then we'll all wait, if you don't mind, till we get to your point. And then that leaves the youth intervention, so Carla and Richard. So Carla, I think, if you don't mind, you can come to the podium and.
Okay, good evening, everybody, and thank you for listening to these brief comments this evening. I know you guys have a really full agenda. I know you all know me, but for the purposes of the record, I guess, my name is Carla Sloan. I'm a 30-year resident at 612 Ashland Avenue. I'm speaking as both a resident and as an elected public official, as I hold the office of River Forest Township Supervisor. I'm here to speak about the Youth Interventionist Program, which is a longstanding community partnership across 11 River Forest and Oak Park taxing bodies. The program takes a proactive approach towards steering our youth in the right directions, toward high school graduation, mental wellness, and other healthy decisions, and away from gangs, drugs, crime, and bullying. The fundamental premise has been and continues to be the shared responsibility of all taxing bodies for the safety and well-being of our youth and their families. Although the Youth Interventionist Program is managed out of Oak Park Township, the program was never designed or intended to be funded just by one or two townships. The founding principle, once again, is that we all share a stake in this mission, which is essential to continuing a program of this scope and reach. So River Forest Township thanks the River Forest Public Library, the River Forest Park District, District 90, District 200, for once again voting along with the township to renew their commitment to the Youth Interventionist Program. We also thank the Village of River Forest for its many years of past support of the program. We're grateful. However, we are disappointed to learn that the Village will no longer fund and support the Youth Interventionist Program. We are also surprised that a decision such as this is regarded as an administrative decision versus one of public record, as it is with the other taxing bodies. River Forest Township and the Youth Interventionist Program remain committed to continue to work closely with the River Forest Police in regard to our youth and their safety, and we have communicated this to Chief O'Shea. The township also remains committed to funding the iSearch program with the River Forest Police because we believe strongly that these partnerships, such as ours, are the most effective way to fund programs and keep our youth safe. The door is always open. I'm always available for questions or discussion on this program or others. So thank you very much for your time and attention. Thanks.
Carl. Okay, Richard?
Hi there. I'm Richard Barrett. I live at 900 Franklin. I've lived there, or lived in River Forest since 1986. And I'm a River Forest representative on the youth committee for the Township Youth Committee. And basically, I just want to reiterate what Carla sketched out, that this is a good program. It's moving, particularly the interventionist program is moving in some very interesting directions right now, focusing more on basically what are equivalent to high levels of post-traumatic stress syndrome in kids who have been exposed to violence. Also, there's been a recent outreach for young women and undiagnosed trauma among them, and the interventionists working very closely with these youth. In addition, the genesis of the interventionist program was in the early 1990s when there was a major upsurge in gang violence. There's a similar upsurge on the west side. I mean, the Englewood is down, Austin and Garfield Park are way up. And so I think this is a particularly bad time to cut services and to cut programs like this. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Richard. Okay, we're going on to our third item of the agenda is the elected official comments and announcements. And we have a presentation. So right after the announcements, then we'll go, whatever elected official comments are, then we'll go into a presentation by the WSCDC. So why don't we, Carmela, you would like to start, do you mind?
Okay, good evening. Thanks for attending our meeting, everyone. Nice to see you here. The only thing I have to report is that I attended the public hearing on June 28th for the Lake and Lathrop project, and there was quite a few residents in attendance, and I know that I'm hopeful that we're going to work through a process and hopefully have a project that everyone can hopefully agree on, and it'll be positive and wonderful for our community, and I'm committed to making sure that that happens. So I appreciate everybody's passion and attendance at those meetings to give feedback so that we can hear that feedback when we're deliberating on that project. And other than that, the other question I have is that it seems like there's some solicitor activity in town.
Yeah, I heard
and
that.
So I was just wondering if maybe Chief O'Shea can just review publicly what our policy is for that people that are soliciting do have to have a permit.
Yeah.
And, you know, if folks are ever threatened, but feel that they're improperly being approached, that they should immediately call the police officers or police department. And we also have no solicitor stickers here in the Village Hall if anybody wants to, you know, come and get those and put them on their door. So I just thought maybe the chief could sort of give us a review on what solicitor permits are. And I think we have them on our website so that folks can go on there and see who actually has a permit that should be or could be soliciting in town. So
thanks, Camilla.
Thank you.
The ordinance has been the same as far as if you are soliciting, that you have to register. If you don't register, you could be subject to a local ordinance violation. Solicitors are to wear or have their permits on their person at the time they are walking around, as well as a government-generated state identification card. We have not received many calls, if outside of a couple, unless Deputy Chief Doogie has caught a couple I haven't, where someone's actually called in and reported a solicitor. And if anyone's being aggressive, if anyone's being threatening or intimidating, our message is you call 911. Don't try to figure out the non-emergency number. You call 911. We'll immediately come out and identify those individuals, make sure they have the appropriate permit. If they don't, they will be cited, and they will appear then before Judge Gilbranson in the adjudication hearing. If they've committed a criminal act, be it an assault, they will be put in handcuffs and brought to the station. We did receive some information, I believe, over the weekend. Trustee Carji, what was it?
It was a Facebook post.
Facebook post. So we're made aware of that. The officers were made aware of that, and we were looking at what type of message to craft to get out on our Facebook posts and also the webpage. In the meantime, as we were doing our research of the calls for service that come in, once again, we didn't have any where anyone had called So once again, trying to verify the information that was put out on Facebook, which, as you know, every once in a while, there is usually some accuracy. How much accuracy is usually in the eye of the beholder. But we will have something together. You'll see it out tomorrow on our Facebook and web page. As far as, once again, we would encourage anyone, and Trustee Kharji, if it's one of our Facebook, the Progressive, or the other family group that it's usually one of the two, that feel free, you know, either as a resident or as an elected official, to let them know, reiterate prior to that message going out tomorrow, to call 911 if you have any type of activity. There just seems to be a little disconnect right now from our calls for service in this area and at post.
And Chief, what was worrisome to me was more, it's not just the solicitation, rather it seemed to me there was active fraud. He was telling people it was 7 cents a kilowatt hour when the actual paperwork said it was almost 8 cents a kilowatt hour, which is why I kind of referred to it. I mean, the solicitation is one thing, but it struck me that this was truly someone trying to hard sell people for based on false information.
And I've had that personally at my house, and not just one, numerous ones, and they're there to get people signed up. And then sometimes, as far as whether it's the delivery, buying
ahead. Like, have the person that posted it reach out to you.
If you can give my name personally, have them reach out, and like I said, any of you, either as residents or as trustees, could sure.
I let had them know. The same solicitation happen to me.
And definitely reach out to us or ask them even on any issue. Are you registered with the village?
They had paperwork.
They did.
Whether it was legit or not, but they had paperwork and they had all the appropriate tags.
Well, that's a great question. How do you determine it's appropriate? Legitimate.
Well, if they do have a permit, the ladies, of course, on the second floor keep track of that, as well as in the police records department. And as you guys see in your monthly reports, what active solicitor permits are available. You see them every month. There's usually about the same four or five groups that have active. So, and as you can tell, I don't believe we have a group that's selling or marketing that type of product right now that is registered.
So we don't. So just to clarify for whoever's listening to the tape or in the audience, there's a company that's going around selling or attempting to sell utility for electric, and they're asking folks, according to the Facebook posts, to see their personal bills and those types of things, which I think, you know, borders on questionable behavior. So you're saying that that particular company has not received a solicitor's permit?
I don't think we had the actual name of the company, but based on the names that we have right now, there wasn't a company registered that we knew what that was doing that. As far as if someone's asking you and they're standing at your door, I would close my door if you were willing to sign up for a magazine subscription, or someone was putting door hangers out. I would never walk away and try to locate a bill or something for comparison purposes.
Right.
This is from a safety perspective. Yeah. But we will have information out tomorrow. And once again, we would ask you to call 911. We don't want anyone in town to feel intimidated or taken advantage of or be the victim of any type of fraud.
And then just for edification, how long is a permit good for? So when someone comes in for a solicitor's permit, is there a time frame?
I'd have to check on the exact time frame, but usually they tell you how long they're going to be in the area. But I do know some of our active solicitor permits are ongoing.
Okay.
And that's something I'd have to verify with the second floor personnel.
So it's always good advice that if a resident feels that something's strange, just to disconnect the conversation and call you to let you know what's going on.
If it doesn't feel right, it probably isn't.
Right.
Or not even answer your door.
Right.
You know, call over. Well, like I said, we don't mind, and I know Brian from Westcom is out in the audience. He doesn't mind. Okay. If you're not sure, just give a call to 911. Everyone knows those three numbers, and it's the easiest way and the quickest way to get an officer over there to investigate it. If they're legitimate, they'll have no problem showing their solicitor's permit. They understand when they receive them that they may be checked on occasionally that they're all carrying their permit.
All right.
Maybe one request just to follow up. Is there a way we could actually put a copy of the permit on the website, not of a person's, but what it would look like so that someone, a sample, like so that you would have an understanding what a permit looks like? So,
like a sample, yeah.
Yeah, sample.
I think not only a sample, but we could probably list. There's so few that have approved permits in the village, like you see them in the monthly report that's publicly posted. This is not the...
We'll figure that. Well, yeah, we just talked about, we don't want to make sure they download it and duplicate it, so we'll figure out a way to also do it, try to make it...
creative.
Sorry, it's the way their brains work.
But we will be able to actually post the groups, just like in the format you see in the monthly report, so everyone knows which groups are approved. There's really not many that apply for those permits.
And the stickers, the no solicitors, we have them at the front desk, or?
Yes, they do. Okay. Yes, they are available.
So people can grab those and put them on their door. Okay.
Sure.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thank
Thanks,
you.
Jim. Good.
That's
good
all
points.
I have.
All right. Thank you.
My son's bike was stolen in the middle of June, in Forest Park. It wasn't a Forest fault. But he had called, of course, when we bought the bike, we registered the bike, and the bike place said, save this, keep it in a really important safe space, and of course we didn't. And so my son called River Forest Police to get the registration information, and he dealt with Officer Cernick, who was incredibly professional and actually incredibly kind. He was giving exact information that he had in front of him, and then he realized there might be more information that would help identify the bike. So he actually went back in the files and came back and got it. So, Chief, I just want to thank him. And it was a true sign of professionalism on his part. And also, even my son said he was nice to him. He's 20 years old. So that says a lot. So thank you.
We will pass that on. And it's good to go.
The bike never showed back up?
No, it's gone.
Oh, well. Okay. Anything else, Tom?
No.
Okay. Just one update. As part of the Imagine work group, our committee put together or narrowed down the designs to two. And we presented those designs to the District 200 board at their meeting on June the 26th. The board asked a number of questions, obviously, and they didn't give any particular directive other than the fact we're going to continue now to try to narrow it down to one design and then start working on a budget. So we were given till August the 15th, which I think is quite aggressive, especially with the cost, but we'll try to do our best in terms of that. Putting the design won't be a problem. It's getting the cost will be an issue that we may need more time, but that's it.
Thank you, Russ.
Nothing for me.
Susan?
And nothing for me. Thank you all for being here.
Good evening. I just wanted to share that I also attended the hearing for Lake and Lathrop. Very much appreciated the comments that residents made. Some very valid points were addressed, and so as we're looking at that development, but I also want to echo Carmela in that looking forward to a development that works for our community and is a benefit to our community.
Mike?
Good evening, everybody. I'd like to mimic Trustee Carji's comments about the police department. Tragically, one of my friends was involved in one of the car break-ins earlier this summer. And, you know, you wake up at 5 o'clock in the morning to go to work. You don't expect the next 4 hours of your life to be crazy because somebody smashed into your car and tried to steal it and all that. All that led up to an experience with our police department that our fellow neighbor informed me was, for lack of better words, very pleasant. It calmed down the situation. It made him, his wife, and his kids feel much more at ease with the situation and what happened. The kids were a little freaked out that, you know, the crime hit so close to home for them. And the policeman that showed up to address the situation did a fine job. And I just wanted you to know his comments to me the morning that it happened. I was with him. So.
Thank you. I'm familiar with the incident. I will pass it on to the shift that worked at place.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you, Mike. I just have a couple items to report. Carmela, I'm surprised you missed this. We met with Heidi.
That's right.
Vorhez, who is going to be our recruiter to replace our beloved Joan Rock. That is retiring eventually. And so that is something that we're mentioning. Don't know when. Maybe
we're
going
to keep.
Maybe never. So we're working with Heidi and her organization for some key replacements. And last, I also, Eric Palm and I met with Erica Warner, who is the new president and CEO of Visit O'Park, the kind of the tourist arm of Illinois tourism Regional tourism, and these regional tourism, which were part of the Western Suburb regional, actually that is Visitable Park, which I find kind of interesting that it's just named Visitable Park. But there's a lot of reasons for it, because Oak Park funds them on a pretty significant basis. So something that we need to talk about in terms of tourism and how do we become more significant as part of that whole Visitable Park. So the great news is Eric Warner is extremely exciting. He's got a lot of ideas, and he will come back to our full board and do a presentation when he starts formalizing the benefits that he can bring to River Forest and all the things that we offer. We certainly offer a lot, our beautiful architectural homes, some of our commercial space, that we can offer many people that want to visit River Forest. So, good stuff. I really enjoyed talking with him, and I think he's going to do some wonderful things for us in the future. So that's all I have to report. So if anybody else doesn't have anything, we'll go ahead and move on to the presentation from the West Central, West Suburban Consolidated Dispatch Center.
And while Brian's going up there, just to give you a little background, a couple of you had asked about obviously 911 is a key component of our public safety, and so we haven't had Brian here for a while, so just to kind of do just a brief overview of the center, how it operates, its training opportunities, things like that, and certainly we could answer any questions you might have, and Brian's going to give a brief presentation. Thank you.
Good evening. Thanks for having me. Again, I am Brian Staun. I'm the Executive Director of West Suburban Consolidated Dispatch. We are the public safety answering emergency dispatch center for 9 agencies, including the River Forest Police and Fire Department. We also work with the Village of Oak Park, the Village of Elmwood Park, the Village of Forest Park, and we also handle the Park Ridge Police Department. West Suburban Consolidated Dispatch began back in May of 2002 when Oak Park and River Forest decided to merge their emergency dispatch services. In 2004, we added the Village of Elmwood Park to our services, and then more recently, 2014, we brought in the City of Park Ridge's Police Department, and then just last May, we brought in the Village of Forest Park, both their police and fire department. West Suburban Consolidated Dispatch has a budget of $4.6 million. We have a staff of 35 people. We keep it very as lean as we possibly can. We have, and myself as executive director, we have a deputy director, 4 shift supervisors, 28 telecommunicators, and 1 support administrative assistant. Our dispatchers work 12-hour shifts, so they work 6:30 in the morning till 6:30 at night, and the next one comes on 6:30 at night till 6:30 in the morning. Just some of the statistics I can offer you. So total population is close to 140,000, 19 square miles. In 2017, we answered over 150,000 phone calls, 65,000 of which were 911 calls, and that's broken down 83% wireless, 17% coming from wireline, as more wireline phones seem to disappear. They're more and more going to cell phones. We answer our call answering standards far exceed the NFPA standards. 99.6% of our calls are answered inside 10 seconds. The NFPA standards say that 95% should be answered within the first 15 seconds, 99% within 40 seconds. So we far exceed the national standards as far as answering calls for service quickly. We had 166,000 cases that we produced out of the dispatch center. 91% or 9 out of every 10 were for the police department. Village of River Forest, just to kind of show you how that fits in, about 18% of our overall activity is for the Village of River Forest. They were about 30,000 of our total 166,000 in 2017, so which fits is a little bit on the smaller side. Park Ridge and Oak Park probably slightly larger, comparable to Forest Park and Elmwood Park. What our dispatchers are doing on a daily basis, they're answering both emergency and non-emergency calls. They're entering calls into our CAD system. They dispatch and monitor the police units, and they're also monitoring various databases, leads, NCIC. We also have an alarm database that they monitor for burglar and fire alarms. So they have quite a range of duties that they handle during their 12-hour shifts. Aside from their normal moment-to-moment activities, we do some specialty-type services. We're the primary dispatch center for Mavis Division 11, which is a mutual aid division of local fire departments, which include Forest Park, River Forest, and Oak Park, as well as some other surrounding dispatch areas, North Riverside, Cicero, Berwyn, etc. We're the primary dispatch center for the Wedge Task Force, and we also serve as team members for the Illinois Telecommunicator Response Team. That's a response team should other dispatch centers be stricken and they don't have staffing, we can send help to dispatch other areas.
Could you explain the Wedge and what it stands for and what the calls come in for them?
The Wedge Task Force is a I don't know the exact acronym or what we know it as the Wedge Task Force. Maybe Chief O'Shea can help me out here, but
that's our gang drug.
No, I know it is. I want to make sure that everyone knows what it is.
It's our West Suburban Enforcement Drug and Gang.
Enforcement. WE is West.
Big on enforcement.
Big on enforcement.
Hence
drug gang and.
Hence
I didn't
acronym.
Put you on the spot. I'm just, it's an important.
West Suburban
Enhanced.
Yes, enhanced.
Enhanced.
Just call it Wedge and get out of it.
Yeah. So when they're out working, we'll provide their dispatch as well. Our dispatchers are licensed professionals. They have numerous certifications. They're fully LEED certified. They're licensed by the Illinois Department of Public Health. They're CPR certified. They're NIMS certified, and they also have emergency medical dispatch certifications. All of those certifications are meticulously maintained. We offer continuing training and education to make sure that their education is kept up and that they can perform their functions to the best of their ability at all times. We also strive to do a great deal of quality assurance. We probably quality assure more than 3,000 calls a year just to make sure that we're providing the citizens and the police officers with the best possible customer service that we possibly can. I'm happy to answer any questions. I know I went through that pretty quickly. I also invite you to contact me, and if you want to visit the center, we can make that happen as well.
I was one of the village trustees that asked for you to appear, and it arose from that incident that was in the spring, I think it was in May, where a woman called in and said there was 100 people going across her grass. Yep. What happened?
So that was an incident in which it was a complicated incident on a couple of manners. The incident arose where there's a forest preserve directly across the street. The dispatcher that made that answered that call, in a way, did what they were supposed to, and then but they didn't follow all the way through. They did give the information to the Cook County Forest Preserve Police Department, which is what they should have done. Knowing that the person was on their lawn, they should have notified the River Forest Watch Commander. 20 minutes prior to that call coming in, a similar group was reported north of North Avenue, and that call was given to Elmwood Park, and they had thought they had made the local notifications by notifying Elmwood Park, not realizing coming south of North Avenue, they've now crossed over into River Forest. We've since retrained the dispatcher in that case. We've also updated our standard operating procedure to include some more stringent notifications. And I also encourage anyone who wants to see and speak to a police officer, just let the call taker know that, and we'll make sure that police officer is able to come out and see them.
My thought was, and I understand, I had heard some of the backstory, but my thought was at least someone from River Forest should have been visited the lady and said, is everything okay?
I don't disagree. And, you know, and again, we remediated with that telecommunicator. We have handled that internally with them, and, you know, we changed our practice and policy.
Yeah, I mean, it happens. Yeah. I appreciate that. Sure.
I've got just a separate question. I think I've read somewhere that the technology is improving, that's allowing cell phones to give GPS locations at more accurately. Mm-hmm. And I'm just curious if you could speak to that. When someone calls on a cell phone, do you know where they are, and is it improving?
Yeah, so Apple came out a couple weeks ago and said with the new iPhones that they'll be able to better pinpoint locations with cell phones, and that's great news. You know, currently the way that it works, when you call in on a cell phone, what the dispatcher gets is the address of the tower that the call came in off of. Generally, with cell phone towers being as close together as they are, it could be anywhere from 50 meters to, you know, 500 meters. We think the technology is going to get better. We're up in the center. We're making a push. We have to be next generation 911 compliant by 2020, which means we have to upgrade our technology to meet some of those needs, to work with some of those carriers to produce, to allow for some of their technology to focus, as well as be able to take text calls from 911, video calls to 911. Those are the, that's what's
next
coming
generation.
Next.
Instagram calls.
Interesting. I have a question.
Sure.
As you get more and more municipalities to join, obviously we're going to have a space constraint, but I mean, what do you see the future of WSCDC in more of a grander scale as far as, you know, adding more folks and becoming a bigger organization?
You know, I'm certainly open to adding more folks to the organization, more municipalities. I think it's an interesting time. If you look at the surrounding area, a lot of them have just consolidated in other areas. There's a consolidation just south of here, which is WC3, which is Riverside, North Riverside, and Brookfield. There's a new consolidation that's just popped up just to the west of us, which is Schiller Park, Harwood Heights, and Norridge. I think I'm interested to see how those consolidations get off the ground, to see if there are opportunities there. I'm also looking to see what the state is thinking. There's always talk that there could be further consolidation laws that come down, which might create some opportunities. I will say that any growth for WSCDC is probably going to come with the need of either a standalone building. Currently, we have a space up on the second floor here in this building. We have maximized that space. We renovated the dispatch center last March to maximize that space so we could bring in Forest Park. Any other further growth would probably necessitate discussion with our executive board for a new facility.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I mean, that's, you know, certainly not a secret. One of the things we would love to see is not only you expand, but expand in another building.
No.
Sorry.
You know what? I completely understand, and we would like to see that too. I think there are some opportunities. I think you know, it's, I'm trying to do what I can to work with our executive board to measure what those costs are and what, you know, versus what it would take to do something like that.
It's tough being a leader, you know, when you get leaders like Eric's, you know, we started all of this and it's we ended up here. It was all good for all the good reasons. But the question I have, and I think it's kind of more on what Trustee Cargi was going toward, is I'm really impressed with all the certifications that you all go through. I think that's really important. Of course, the training is, speak to me a little bit about your training and your retraining. Like you just said, we learned something here, which is, by the way, the good news is there was no fatalities, there was no major issues, so it was a nice learning experience. Had it been different, then we would have had a different discussion. But
sure,
thankfully, it ended up where they just disappeared. But tell me, tell us a little bit about your, you know, type of retraining efforts and.
Sure. So when a dispatcher or a telecommunicator is hired by West Suburban, they go through an intensive 6-month on-the-job training. There's classroom training that they go through. They also will sit with senior certified training officers, and we teach them as many aspects of the job. You will never teach them every. Right. You can't teach them every aspect of the job, but we do what we can. They'll work with those training officers for about 6 months until we deem that they're proficient enough to work on their own. We give them monthly training inside the center, both classroom and written training. We look for classroom opportunities in the area that we can send them to that can get them exposed, especially to when we're talking about low-frequency, high-risk type training, active shooter, structure fire, things of that nature. I will admit that, you know, sometimes in the constraint of the schedule that the telecommunicators work in the 12-hour schedule, backfill becomes a problem, so we do relegate most of that training to in the center, and you know, we're teaching it to them, but hopefully we can see some movement there, and we're always looking to get the as much continuing education into their hands as we possibly can.
Yeah. Which is good. I mean, obviously, the you know the call, the first call is an emergency call. So the way the telecommunicator, or the dispatcher handles the call, obviously being calm, cool, and collective themselves, and being able to move the police and fire right away is so important. So I assume you listen in to some of those calls for training purposes?
We do. My supervisors are required to. Each telecommunicator, all 28, are required to get about 10 calls per month each reviewed for quality assurance. We look at not only just general call intake, we look at medical call intake. We also look at their demeanor on the radio, make sure that they're handling their radio responsibilities with the policemen and firemen appropriately. We give them continuous feedback on how they're working, and that's not to mention any time a chief or a deputy chief or a sergeant will call us and give us some feedback on a call, we'll go back and look at those as well. So that's above and beyond. So we're constantly looking to provide that type of feedback to the dispatchers and identify areas where training is appropriate.
Okay. I do have one more question. Sure. When this first began and we were consolidating more and more municipalities, you had dedicated dispatchers for each town. Is it still the same way or is it different?
So the way the room is broken down, there's six on at a time, typically with one person on some kind of break, so really five people in the room at a time. Two are designated as call takers. One is dispatching the Elmwood Park and Park Ridge Police Department. They share a talk group. One dispatches the River Forest, Forest Park, and Oak Park Police Department, and then the other dispatcher will dispatch the four fire departments. So it's not a dedicated dispatcher. They do share talk groups, but we do... try to separate things out as best we can.
I just think the concept was that they were more familiar with the actual area so that, the enhancements to the dispatching would be greater in that respect, but I'm assuming that all that is taken care of in training.
We do train quite a bit on geography. We do train on each department's different ways that they do business. As much as I work with the operations committee, they drive our policies and our procedures with me. I do look for ways where we maybe we can work together to standardize things to make things more streamlined, but we do I do work as closely as I can to make sure that we're supporting the police and fire departments as best we can.
Thank you.
Okay. All right, any further questions for Brian?
And again, I invite any of you to come by, and we'll certainly get
you. Yeah, I encourage, if you haven't taken the tour, do it. It's a wonderful, have you? Yeah.
Thank you.
Got a taker here.
Okay.
It's a great, yep.
Yeah,
all right, very good. All right. Okay, so thank you, Brian.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Okay, moving on to our consent agenda.
We'll make a motion to pass the consent agenda in its entirety.
A through
second.
J. All right. So we've got Trustee Gibbs and Trustee Vasquez. Okay. Any comment on that? Hearing none.
I'm fine with the extending the lease on the Lutheran Center, but what are our plans after they leave? Or is that something we should refer to executive committee?
That would be we could follow up later on in the executive session on that. Yeah.
Okay, if I can ask the clerk to please take the vote.
May I read it into the record first?
Yes, you may, and absolutely should.
We have to pull out item G. Let's remove item G and put that under 5A.
Oh, because of Russ.
Yep.
Okay, very good. Are you okay with that since you moved it? It might be okay.
I'm okay with that.
Yes.
Yeah, okay, very good. All right, so now we have the consent agenda A through F and H through J. There are no further comments. If I can ask you to read the consent agenda, please.
A, regular village board meeting minutes, June 11th, 2018. B, executive session meeting minutes, June 11th, 2018. C, right-of-way encroachment waiver and license agreement, 315 Ashland Lawn Sprinkler System. D, right-of-way encroachment waiver and license agreement, 847 Clinton Place Lawn Sprinkler System. E, award bid and contract for 2018 street maintenance program paving crack ceiling to AC Pavement Striping Company for $45,828. F, request for minor amendment to the plan development permit for 1101 to 1111 Bonnie Bray, construction commencement deadline, March 30th, 2019 ordinance. H, accounts payable, May 2018, $1,632,962.08. I, financial report, May 2018. J, village administrator's report.
Okay, can I take the vote, please?
Trustee Corsini.
Yes.
Trustee Cargi.
Yes.
Trustee Vasquez.
Yes.
Trustee Conti.
Yes.
Trustee Hennick.
Yes.
Trustee Gibbs.
Yes.
Okay, so we have now the consent items for separate consideration. It will be G, the extension of the lease to the Lutheran Child and Family Services, and then the accounts payable for May 2018. So can I hear a motion and a second on those two items?
I move to approve items A and G as presented.
Okay.
I'll second.
Okay. Trustee Cargi, second. No comments. You'll read them, please.
G, extension of lease through August 15th, 2018 with Lutheran Child and Family Services for the property located at 7620 Madison River Forest, Resolution 5A. Consent, accounts payable May 2018, TIF Madison Street, $1,242.67, and TIF North Avenue Fund, $5,770.
Okay. So we're going to take the vote.
Yes, and I'm abstaining from the 5A based on my common law conflict since my firm represents District 200 and District 90. And
AG, A and G.
And AG, oh, also 4G. And A.
And
okay.
G.
And G. Okay.
H.
Okay, 4G, 5A.
Bingo.
Okay.
Ah,
thank
it.
You.
4G, I got it. All right.
Trustee Cargi.
Yes.
Trustee Conti.
Yes.
Trustee Hennick.
Yes.
Trustee Gibbs.
Yes.
Trustee Corsini.
Yes. Okay. So we're moving on to recommendations of boards, commissions, and committees. So we're going to take these as separately, huh?
They're separate applications. Okay.
Yep. So
I'll make a motion to concur with the recommendation of President Aducci to appoint Andrew Basney.
No. We're going up on A and B, Mike.
Oh, sorry.
Yep, no worries. Development Review Board.
Sorry.
Amendment to conclude.
Motion to pass an ordinance granting major amendment, plan development permit, 7400 Augusta Street. Parentheses, Concordia University cellular antenna sites on parking garage, close parentheses.
All right, so that's A.
Sorry.
So, it's 6A. Okay, we got it. Okay, 6A. And then do you want to come up and speak now to this particular motion? No? All right. So this is the Verizon Wireless ordinance.
We do have a brief presentation prepared.
Okay.
So we can go through that.
Okay.
If you're content to proceed with the motion, we don't need to make a presentation.
Well,
I would defer to you.
No, we made a motion so we can talk about it.
Oh,
so
fine.
So
okay.
We're ready to roll if you are.
Very well, yes. We have two, as you can see on your agenda. The first one is for Verizon Wireless. And we are seeking your approval to add a Verizon Wireless cell site to our campus on the fifth floor of our parking garage. We are doing this to improve Verizon coverage in the area, not only for the students, faculty, staff on our campus, but for the entire community. We have two existing carriers there now, AT&T on the northwest corner and T-Mobile on the southwest corner. We feel that our application is compliant with the village code. At the southeast corner, we're seeking approval to move from 44 feet to 54 feet in height. This remains about 10 feet below the overall height of the structure, but in that particular location, it is an increase from 44 to 54. It will be a stealth enclosure to match the structure, consistent with the other stealth enclosure that exists on both of the AT&T and the T-Mobile site. There's an image on the screen that shows the before and after photos, and so you can see what it looks like without and what it's projected to look like with the addition. And this, again, is at the southeast corner, this image. This image shows a notch out on the southwest corner for a set of antennas, and that is also concealed by stealth panels to match the building and the rest of the facade. The The project does require one parking space be taken on the fifth floor, and the university is committed to replacing that with one surface parking space just to the south of our track, where we have quite a large area to work with, and so we will stripe in a space there to accommodate for the one that is coming out of service on the fifth floor of the garage. The rough timeline is 3 to 7 weeks to complete once construction begins, which of course would not begin until after building permits were issued. In the packet that we submitted, we solicited Grimes Real Estate for an opinion, and they do not predict any adverse impact on the community as a result of this project. We also do not believe that there's any increased demand on village services, and we believe that it will help the village police department communications. I believe they run on the Verizon network. We also feel that Verizon has the financial capacity to complete the project. And that is the very high-level overview of our project. I would be happy to answer any questions that you might have.
So you get 7 weeks to completion of construction, but after the building permits are issued, if you're approved tonight, when would you be able to get the building permits?
I think that our friends at Verizon have already started to submit some materials to the village for review. So our construction drawings are done and ready, and I don't know that they've all come in yet, but they will come in very quickly, I believe.
They've been submitted as of Friday.
They were submitted on Friday.
As a neighbor of Concordia, the sooner you get this done, the better.
We agree. Concordia agrees.
And a Verizon user.
And a Verizon user.
That's the most important part.
Right. Me too. Okay, any further questions? No further questions, so we'll go ahead and ask the board, the clerk, to take the vote, please. No, I think they're all together.
Good. Trustee Vasquez?
Yes.
Trustee Conte?
Yes.
Trustee Hennick?
Yes.
Trustee Gibbs?
Yes.
Trustee Corsini?
Yes.
Trustee Cargi?
Yes.
Motion passed.
Okay. So moving on to item B, 6B, if I can get a trustee and another to move and second 6B.
Thank you.
I'll move to pass an ordinance granting a major amendment to plan development permits for 7400 Augusta Street, the Concordia University covered pedestrian walkway.
Second.
Okay, very good. All right. Al or anyone? Okay, you're going to do this. Okay.
You ready for the next
yes.
one? Thank you.
Yep, please.
Okay, so the second project that we would like to present on this evening is a pedestrian walkway to connect two buildings, the West Annex and the Christopher Center on our campus. And we recently renovated the first floor of the West Annex, and as an outcome of that project, we had a donor step forward that would like to see an enclosed walkway between the Christopher Center and the renovated West Annex. And so the approximate value of the project is $400,000. The funds have been received, and so we do have, we believe, financial capacity to complete. We also believe our application is compliant with village code. This is a protected walkway. It would be a very nice new entrance point to a lot of the buildings on our campus, on the west end of the campus. We also believe it'll be an attractive addition. It's been designed to mirror the link that we recently constructed between Trusheim Hall and Concordia Hall. Two residence halls. It is slated to be single story, 45 feet long and 14 foot 11 wide. It's metal frame, glass walls. Construction is about 10 weeks to complete once we get approved building permits. We are located on the interior of the campus, about 315 feet from Augusta Street. We have to remove one tree, and we will replace it with three trees in kind per the village ordinance. This image shows you on the campus where it is. That yellow box is mm-hmm. meant to simulate the connection point. And so Augusta Street is on the bottom of that image. And you can see that we are pretty far inside the campus.
Yeah.
This is an image inside the proposed pedestrian walkway looking from the Christopher Center to the West Annex. And this is another image standing on the north side of the link. So you'd be looking through it towards Augusta Street. With a view of the link. And at a very high level, that's an overview of our presentation, of our project. Pardon me.
Yep, yes. Trustee Corsini.
So I I understand the project. I think it's nice. It's your reasons for doing it is to protect passage for inclement weather. Was there any consideration given to ADA accessibility coming from the Christopher Center then going to your West Annex? Because in the drawings, I just see the stairs. So how would that accommodate ADA?
Yeah, this connection does not accommodate ADA for either structure. Each structure independently has ADA accessible entranceways at different locations. And so we did review this twice with the village staff to be sure that we were not under a requirement to make these entrances also ADA compliant, and we are not. And so it's not intended to try to solve that very important issue. We do that in other ways at other locations for each structure.
Don't you find it odd to have an enclosed structure and somebody in a wheelchair probably needs that most than anybody else?
I do not disagree. I can tell you that the cost would be quite onerous to try to do that on the Christopher Center side, where there is basically a staircase only available to work with to get to the second floor. So we're just simply not able to accommodate in this project that issue. But we do have an elevator at the main entrance for the Christopher Center, and we have two ramps coming from different locations into the West Annex to serve those folks that have that need.
But they can't go passage through from one building to the next in a covered manner.
Correct. Because they would have to exit one structure or the other to then go around this walkway. Yes,
that's a little disappointing to me in the project. I'm not looking to add costs or whatever, but there's no way to configure a ramp on near those stairs to be able to allocate space.
The ADA requirements for a ramp are one for every inch of rise is a foot of ramp. So for 48 inches of rise, which looks like this is about it, the ramp would have to be 48 feet long. So as you can see, that gets kind of long for every rise.
Well, I hear you, Mike, but I think it almost defeats the purpose of an enclosed. What I would like to ask, and I don't know if this is out of sort, but I'd like to ask that I know we don't have a requirement, as I assume in our zoning, or that it is ADA required. I'd like us as the village to look at that to see, you know, if we can't do it for you, but if there's another applicant that comes our way that wants to create an enclosed structure, it would make sense that we do it for those with disabilities. Like we said, this has gone through the process and you are meeting the requirement of our code, but I'd like us to consider, you know, updating our code on that. If I hear any other objections.
Correctly, though, the issue isn't so much putting a ramp within the walkway, but it's rather the accessibility of that, the Christopher side,
right,
is just stairs. So in other words, someone in a wheelchair can't get to the Christopher side of this walkway, correct?
No. Not at this location. They cannot. You could enter and be on the ground floor, but you cannot go to two at that point without going upstairs.
But there's small little elevators that can lift it.
Yeah,
there's lifts.
Right.
I mean, there's ways to do it. It's more expensive, no doubt. But
well, that's what I'm thinking. If you consolidate that stairway, I'm not telling you, I'm not an architect, but there are lifts that could be installed. And that's just, to me, it's a great project, but it's disappointing that it's not addressing that situation, because if you're looking to mitigate, you know, inclement weather situations going from one building to the next, I would have hoped that this would have been part of the conversation. So,
yeah. All right. big disappointment,
yeah.
But you meet our requirements, so we need to look at our requirements for the future, at least. Otherwise, I haven't closed anything. Okay, any other further questions for Concordia? Hearing none, let's go ahead and take the vote, please.
Trustee Conte.
Yes.
Trustee Hennick.
Yes.
Trustee Gibbs.
Yes.
Trustee Corsini.
No.
Trustee Cargi.
Yes.
Trustee Vasquez.
Yes.
Okay. All right, well, it looks like we're moving on to the appointments. And Andrew? No, I'm looking for an Andrew. Andrew, all right, you're here. Yeah, Andrew. I see him waving. The majority of the Sustainability Commission wanted to be here. I don't know if we've got most of them here, but looks like we've got a lot of kids. All right, so we'll go ahead with the appointment of Andrew and
now. So if I can get a motion and a second, please.
Make a motion to concur with the recommendation of President Ducci to appoint Andrew Pasny to the Sustainability Commission for a term expiring April 30th, 2019.
I'll second.
Okay, Andrew's back there, and just wave your hand. Andrew lives on Jackson, and
thank you.
He was. We haven't taken the vote yet, Andrew. Yeah. So maybe you shouldn't say anything until we.
Thank you for showing up.
But I know you have a great background for this, so I'll go ahead and ask if there's any questions for Andrew. Hearing no questions for Andrew, I'd ask the clerk to please take the vote.
Trustee Hennick.
Yes.
Trustee Gibbs.
Yes.
Trustee Corsini.
Yes.
Trustee Cargi.
Yes.
Trustee Vasquez.
Yes.
Trustee Conte.
Yes.
Congratulations, Andrew.
Thank you.
I just have one comment with regard to his appointment.
Yeah.
Andrew and your wife and kids, thank you all for coming. It's nice to see an appointee come to the meeting when they're appointed.
Yeah.
But I know this was a very exciting evening for the kids, but watching those two tonight was fun. For lack of better words, the little one's smile is lighting up the whole room. Thank you.
It's not the toy. It lights up the, it's the smile. Absolutely smart. Okay, going on to the next appointment, please. If I can hear a motion and a second for Owen Dowling.
I would concur with the recommendation of the village president for the appointment of Owen Dowling to the Historic Preservation Commission for a term expiring April 30th, 2019.
Second.
I don't think Owen is here. I don't know. Okay. He is not here, but he has his resume and his application was part of the packet, and 2 years ago, he said he'd like to be on the historic preservation. He has, real estate background, management background. So he seems like a very nice fit. Talked to David Franick. He's excited for Owen to join the commission. So with that, I'd ask the clerk to please take the vote.
Trustee Gibbs.
Yes.
Trustee Corsini.
Yes.
Trustee Cargi.
Yes.
Trustee Vasquez.
Yes.
Trustee Conte.
Yes.
Trustee Hennick.
Yes.
Okay. Very good. We have no unfinished business, and we have one last item, item 8, before we go into the 7 o'clock meeting. And this is, if I can get a trustee a motion and a second to move 8A, please.
I move to pass an ordinance. To pass an ordinance amending the village code of the village of River Forest relative to the permitting, regulation, and deployment of small wireless facilities, and authorize the village administrator to file application for a zoning text amendment to make small wireless technology as a special use on all properties not in the C1 zoning district.
Second.
Okay, maybe before anybody else makes a comment, I'd like to read my comment because I want to make sure that the papers pick it up. tonight's agenda is an item relating to small cell regulations. This ordinance that the Village Board of Trustees will consider tonight is another regulation, another unfunded mandate, forced upon us from the legislature in Springfield. It is the direct result of the lobbying efforts of AT&T to ensure that they are able to carry out to their for-profit business plan with as much case and little regulation as possible at the taxpayers' expense. Now, the Village of River Forest supports new and emerging technologies. We always will. We want our residents and businesses to be on the forefront of these innovative efforts, but not at the taxpayers' expense. The bill SB, Senate Bill 1451, which required us to adopt this ordinance in a mere matter of months, does not look out for the interests of the taxpayers, but rather companies like AT&T. AT&T could have worked with groups like the Illinois Municipal League and the Mayor's Metropolitan Mayor's Caucus to negotiate a better model ordinance or templates that benefit both parties. AT&T could have also negotiated individual agreements that provide mutual benefits to both their company and the municipality. Instead, they push through a bill in Springfield that benefits their company first and puts the taxpayers second. As a non-home rule community, and this is important, as a non-home rule community, we have no choice but to accept this or look for alternative solutions, a bitter pill to swallow. This bill, Senate Bill 1451, provides the village with few regulations on where small cell antennas can actually be placed. While we have some ability to regulate the design of the antenna, the majority of these regulations benefit AT&T. So it is important that our residents know that we are limited, and this is really important, we are limited in what we can do with small cells. They will end up on our light poles and our utility poles. And if you are not happy with small cells being all over our community, on our light poles or on our utility poles, and in our parkways, then I encourage you to contact our state legislature and our governor. Now, I'll tell you this. Our state representative here in River Forest, Chris Walsh, voted no. So he listened to all of you, the taxpayers, and all of us, the trustees and I, about how bad this bill was for us, and he voted no. Unfortunately, our senator did not. She voted yes. So as we go about in making this decision tonight, I just want to let you know that we're doing the fight here at the table, and we need people, good people in the state legislature to fight for all of us as well. So with that, I will open it up for comment or discussion with the rest of the trustees. Any comments?
Well, yeah, just Katie, I'm just confused because I read the bill as only exempting Chicago. Not home, all home rule and non-home rule villages are stuck by this bill, except right. for Chicago.
Right, but that might be an unconstitutional issue right now because of the way they voted for it. Right now, the point that they're saying that it might not have taken the full composition of the state. It needed a full composition of the state house, 3/5, I think, correct? And it did not have that. So there's still a lot of
The state law wasn't passed by 3/5 vote in both houses.
That, but they didn't frame it as an exemption of as a preemption rather of home rule authority. They did it as a matter of state policy.
Correct. Right. Under the field preemption theory, which is yet to be tested in the courts on this issue.
Right. Okay. Yeah. So if the point is it being a non-home rule, we have done. If we were home rule, we would have had a lot more say in a little bit more say. We still might have lost, but a little bit more say in how this might have worked. So anyway, that's unfortunate, but I want to make sure that our residents realize that this is going to be it's going to happen fairly soon, and you know, hopefully their design is going to meet our requirements, our characteristics of what we want River Forest to look like. So hang in there with us. So. With that, I'm going to ask the clerk to take the vote. This vote is to actually implement that law. We have to. It's a law. We can't ignore it. Otherwise, well, I assume we'd be in contempt. So we'll go ahead and implement it.
But we are also going to look at this on our zoning, too, just so our residents know that we're trying to fight this.
So there's two trailer items.
Right.
One will be the design standards that will come to you in your first meeting in August, and then you're authorizing the to file a zoning amendment to the land use chart that makes small cell antenna a special use in every zoning district with the exception of C1 because the state law doesn't allow that.
So that gives us a little bit.
Again, that's just for private property that does not deal with light poles, right-of-way easements, things like that.
Yeah, unfortunately. Yeah. Okay.
All in the best interest of technology. Okay. So, no questions or comments, I suggest we take the vote.
Trustee Corsini.
Yes.
Trustee Cargi.
Yes.
Trustee Vasquez.
Yes.
Trustee Conte.
Yes.
Trustee Hennick.
Yes.
Trustee Gibbs.
Yes.
All right, that finishes our special meeting. We're not going into executive session because we've got a room full of wonderful people, so we're going to adjourn. If I can get a motion to adjourn.
Move to adjourn.
Second.
Okay.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Okay.